Today's sermon, we're in the book, Jesus is the Question, and I'm looking at chapter 8 specifically, but ultimately the thesis of the book, right, is that Jesus is not in the business of giving us the answers. Jesus is in the business of inviting us into relationship, and to do that requires us to wrestle ourselves, right? Jesus asks questions. Jesus answers questions with questions. Jesus answers questions with parables, because then as the audience, we are like drawn in. We have to lean forward. We have to say, I don't know. How would I answer that? What does that mean? Who is my neighbor? And so that enters this, thank you very much, into this wonderful dialogue, right? Into this relationship. If it was just a list of answers, then I'm passive. The audience just sits and says, okay, thank you, A, B, C, D, commandment 1, 2, 3, 4. But to be asked a question, to be given a parable, means I can't be passive. I have to be an active participant in this relationship, in this encounter. And so Jesus does this over and over and over again. So today is no different. The scripture reading, Mark chapter 6. I want you to note this. Mark chapter 6 is where we are, but I'm also going to read a little bit, and I'll tell you when Mark chapter 8, because it happens just two chapters later, which is usually the case because the disciples don't get it. So Mark chapter 6, verse 30 through 44. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him everything they had done and taught. Many people were coming and going, so there was no time to eat. So you have to get the context here. Jesus' ministry is gaining popularity. There's lots of people who want to hear him, who need to be healed by him. He's now sending out the disciples and they're doing stuff. So they come back and they report and they're hungry. They haven't had a chance to eat. Jesus said to the disciples, come by yourselves to a secluded place and rest. We're all tired. We've had people following us all over. We've been preaching and teaching, and let's go somewhere secluded. They departed by boat by themselves to a deserted place. But many people saw them leaving and recognized them. So they ran ahead from all the cities and arrived before them. So they couldn't get away. So they're tired and they're hungry. But the crowd see them, right? Have you ever felt like that? I feel like this sometimes, right? Like I'm just going to want to go home today and like watch sports, like fall asleep. But inevitably that's not going to happen. My kids are going to be like, I need help with my homework, or this or that happened. Oh, I told you to mow the grass, Sullivan. What happened, right? This is just going to happen. I will not handle it like Jesus. Here's how Jesus handles it. When Jesus arrived, tired and hungry, and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he began to teach them many things. Late in the day, his disciples came to Jesus and said, this is an isolated place and it's already late. Please send them away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. In other words, we're hungry and tired. Can you get rid of them? We need to eat, right? They can find food somewhere else. I picture the disciples a little bit like my kids at the end of a long Sunday. Can we go home yet? Why do you have to talk to everybody, Dad? We're hungry, right? We got to get out of here. So the disciples say, like, send them to the countryside. We're all hungry. They can get something to eat there. And Jesus replied, you give them something to eat. But the disciples said to him, should we go off and buy bread worth almost 8 months' wage to give all these people something to eat? Jesus said to them, and this is the question, how much bread do you have? That's the question today. How much bread do you have? Let's look. After checking, they said, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus directed the disciples to seat all the people in groups as though they were having a banquet on the green grass. They sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, blessed them, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. Everyone ate until they were full, And then they filled 12 baskets with the leftovers. Approximately 5,000 had eaten. Wow. What do you have? How much bread do you have? Right, this is the question Jesus asks his disciples, and as Christians, I think we claim to be Christ followers, so it's the question Jesus asks all of us, right? Joe, how much bread do you have? I'm really grateful for the disciples because even after witnessing this crazy, miraculous event, they still don't get it, right? Thank goodness for this ragtag group of blind, ignorant, foolish people because it gives me hope for Joe. They're like, hey! I've got some hope, right? Like, that's me. I'm just like these morons who can't figure it out. So they see this whole thing unfold. I'm sure they're amazed. It's wonderful. But it only takes a couple of chapters before they're lost again. So I want to read briefly from Mark chapter 8. Because Jesus feeds again. And I'm not sure if you're aware. Not everyone is, right? In the Gospel of Mark, there are multiple feeding stories. So there's the 5,000, and then a couple chapters later, there's the 4,000. So that's what we're going to read now. In those days, there was another large crowd with nothing to eat. Jesus called his disciples and told them, I feel sorry for the crowd. They've been here for 3 days. Oh, revival. Revival. We got tents, we got singing, no one's leaving. 3 days, right? And they have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they won't have enough strength to travel. Some have come from such a long distance. His disciples respond, how can anyone get enough food in this wilderness? How could anyone possibly find enough food in this wilderness? Certainly not Jesus. Verse 5, Jesus asked, how much bread do you have? Same question, how much bread? This time they said 7 loaves. So they have a little bit more. So Jesus tells the crowd to sit, break them into groups, pass it around, and everyone gets fed. This time there's 7 baskets full of leftovers. But here's what happens at the end of chapter 8. So now the disciples have seen Jesus do this twice. Jesus' disciples had forgotten to bring any bread, even though there was leftovers. Oops, they forget. They get on a boat, and they start heading across to Dalmanutha. So they're going to go to a different area, preach there. They're on the boat, they don't have any bread. Jesus had given them strict orders at this point. He hears them grumbling like, we don't have any bread, what happened, we forgot. And Jesus says, watch out, be on guard against the yeast of the Pharisees as well as the yeast of Herod. And the disciples begin to discuss amongst themselves. They said, Jesus must have said that because we forgot to bring bread on the boat. So I'm going to stop for a minute, because Jesus gets mad at this point. He probably shouldn't have gotten mad at earlier, but he doesn't, because he's Jesus. But now he gets mad. But at this point, Jesus says, I hear you talking about forgetting bread. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod. And the disciples assume Jesus says this because they forgot to bring bread. This has nothing to do with what Jesus is saying, right? Jesus isn't saying, watch out for the yeast of Herod and the Pharisees because you've got to bring bread. It's that you're worried you didn't bring bread. Didn't you just see that I provided? Didn't you just witness 2 separate times me provide for thousands? Do you think you not bringing bread on this boat is a problem? The yeast of Herod, the yeast of the Pharisees is the feeling that God isn't enough. It's the feeling of scarcity, like, we've got to dot every I and cross every T because God's not gracious. Who cares that you forgot bread? I'm gracious. There's enough. We'll be okay. Don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be like Herod. Don't get into a scarcity mindset. But of course, the disciples think that Jesus is still talking about bread. So here's Jesus' response. Jesus knew what they were discussing and said, why are you talking about the fact that you don't have any bread? Don't you grasp what just happened? Of course not. Don't you understand? Are your hearts so resistant to what God is doing? Listen to all these questions. Don't you have eyes? Why can't you see? Don't you have ears? Why can't you hear? Don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves and fed 5,000? How many baskets were left over? The disciples answered, 12. And then when I broke 7 loaves and fed 4,000 people, how many baskets then? 7 left over. And Jesus said, you still don't understand? Nope. And just when I think I'm going to get on my high horse and be like, man, those disciples, they're the worst. I think, how many times has God provided for me? How many times has God shown up for me? How many times has it been enough? And how many times do I doubt and are filled with anxiety and feel like God's not going to do it? And I get caught up with the yeast of the Pharisees and with Herod. And I feel like I better be good enough or God's not going to love me. Oh my gosh, did I forget my bread? That's it for me. Where's God's judgment? I forget as many times as the disciples and then some. God has provided. We are here. We've been through the worst year of my life and God provided and we're still here. Not only are we still here, but we're making videos. We're making turning pages. We're building homes. We're worshiping right now. People are being loved, cared for, seen and heard and deeply known. God didn't stop working because of COVID. God didn't stop working because of isolation. And yet, do you want to know my predominant emotion over the last couple weeks when I found out we could be in here? I got to get everything ready. Everything's got to be set up. I got to make sure the chairs are down. I got to make sure I get the cleaner set up. I got to talk to Shelly. We got to get a hospitality team. And I'm anxious and nervous and anxious and nervous. That's my, where's the joy? That's the yeast of the Pharisees. I forget. Like if we had to worship outside for a few more weeks, what would happen? Would the sky fall? Would the earth split open? Would I be consumed by lava? I don't think so. So as soon as I want to point a finger at the disciples in judgment, I realize that's me. That's Joe. I've watched God feed thousands, and yet I doubt. So there's a sense that Jesus asks in both times, how much bread do you have? And really, what I think Jesus wants the disciples to say, like what I really believe he wants them to answer is, Jesus, we have enough. That's it. That's all I think Jesus wants. I think we've got enough. Enough to share. Enough to satisfy. Joe, how much time do you have? Enough. How much talent do you have? Enough. How much resources? How much money? Enough. How much food? That's what Jesus wants me to say. He wants me to have just enough faith and enough trust to say, I've got enough. But that's not how I feel, and that's not how I act. What would it be like if each of us just took what little we had, what was little in our hand, the bread that we had, and just laid it at the feet of Jesus, right? Miracles happen. If I could just take the little bit that I have, with all of my limitation and all of my anxiety and all of my doubt, and I just laid it at the feet of Jesus, 5,000 can be fed. Some of this is about the mindset, and this is in the reading that was very helpful to me, the mindset of scarcity versus the mindset of abundance. Like, how do we shift from this? Because a scarcity mindset is a Pharisee mindset. It is a Herod mindset. It is a constant fear, like, I'm not going to be enough. People won't like me. What do they think of me? I have to hoard. I've got to make sure that I'm taken care of, right? It's like a zero-sum game, and there's a finite amount of resources, and I better take care of me and my family. That's scarcity. That makes it very hard for me to love other people. It makes it very hard for me to trust or be soft. I'm always in battle mode when I'm in scarcity. It's always fight or flight. And Jesus is trying to teach his disciples to shift from that scarcity mindset into this abundant mindset that says no matter how little you think you have, it's going to be enough. If scarcity mindset is about insecurity and hoarding, then the abundance mindset, the theology of abundance, is about trust and gratitude. But how do we transition from one to the other, right? So Mother Teresa, Copenhaver talks about Mother Teresa wanting to start an orphanage in India. You remember her. So she's like a faceless, nameless nun at this point. She just decides that God's called her to care for the dying in India. She wants to start a place that can take care of children, take care of those who are dying. And she goes to her superiors and she says, I've got 3 pennies in a dream. I don't know why 3 pennies. I assume it might be from the story of the widow who has such little, right? And so her superiors in the Catholic Church say, you can't do anything with what you've got. And she said, you're right. But with 3 pennies in God, I can do anything. That's abundance. With 3 pennies and God, everyone knows her name. But it requires getting over what we don't have and to focus on what we do. It's to remind ourselves all the times that God has shown up for us. All the times that we've been fed when we didn't think that was going to happen. Comforted and loved when we didn't think so. When resurrection, those moments of resurrection occur when we never thought they would again. I have to remind myself so that I can get into a mindset of abundance rather than scarcity. How much bread do you have, Joe? Lord, I have enough. I want to read it's a story from the text about the creation of Habitat for Humanity. And this will sort of lead to my close. I find this appropriate because we're going to have an opportunity to frame a Habitat for Humanity house on June 19th. And if you're interested in doing that and being a part of that, please let me know and I'll get you signed up on a team. But I also find it interesting because we're going to be putting up some homes back here as well. So this is how Habitat gets started. Habitat for Humanity, the Christian housing ministry, started out as a dream, planted like a mustard seed in the mind of Millard Fuller, the founder. The Habitat concept was simple. Homes would be built in partnership with the poor through volunteer labor and sold to the poor through no interest loans. No tax money would be used. No large foundations would fund it. It would be achieved through the work of individual Christians and local churches. Sounds familiar. I first met Millard Fuller in the late 70s. It was in seminary, and Millard was touring churches in Connecticut with a box full of pamphlets in the trunk of his car, trying to stir up support for this new housing ministry he had just started. At that time, Habitat was barely 3 years old, but already there were projects in 3 African countries and 11 locations in the United States. Habitat received a lot of criticism at that time. Some people thought it was too meager a response to the enormous need for decent housing. They said we would never get anywhere building just one house at a time. They withheld their support, waiting for a response big enough to meet the need. A drop in the bucket is the way they put it from time to time. Today, barely 3 decades later, there are Habitat for Humanity projects in thousands of locations in more than 100 nations around the world. Over 600,000 people live in homes built by Habitat for Humanity. In the United States, Habitat is the largest provider of housing outside of the federal government. One of the reasons the kingdom of God starts out small is so that we can all have a piece of the action. If the kingdom of God started out as something big, larger than a mustard seed or a few scraps of bread, we would be so intimidated by the enormity of the reality in which we were invited to share, we wouldn't even get started. So how much bread do you have?
Enough.
Enough. And the call and the challenge is we're going to take whatever it is we have, the meager fragments of our time and our talents and our money and our bread and our space, and we are going to give them to God because they're God's already. We're going to give them back to God and we're going to ask God to bless them and break them and share them. And when we do that, needs are going to get met. And the little we have is going to be enough because Joe's not doing it alone. And Emily's not doing it alone. And Jackie's not doing it alone. We get to be a we. We, Collister, we Christians, we the church, are going to give what we have to Jesus. And we're going to watch Jesus bless and break it and feed. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, teach us. Teach us the theology of abundance, that what we have is enough. What you've given is enough. Even when it doesn't feel that way, Lord, help us to take what we have together as a community. We don't do this alone, but all of us together, bringing what we have to share it. to have it blessed and broken and shared for the feeding of your people, the caring of those who need it most. Let that be a witness to the world of your love, of your power, of your grace. We are grateful, but we need more faith. We need more of you. We need your courage for this work to be done. Amen. Please stand for our closing song.
Deserve it, still you give yourself away. All the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
There's no shadow you won't climb up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Tear down, coming after me.
There's no
shadow you won't light up,
mountain
you won't climb up, coming after me.
There's
no mom you won't kick down, wall you won't tear down, coming after me.
There's no
shadow you won't light up,
mountain
you won't climb up, coming after me. All you won't kick down, all you won't tear down, coming after me. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, lights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. All the overwhelming, never-ending,
reckless love of God. White still I'm found, leaves the 99, and I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
That was awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, hear this benediction. Lord, you've given us what we need. Give us the strength to give it back to you and lay it at your feet. To continue to be motivated to love and serve a world that desperately needs it. And for that, we ask your spirit and your strength. Amen. If you could help with chairs, if you are physically able, I would love it. We can start by just taking the purple ones here downstairs. If you can't, I totally understand. Do not hurt yourself. But if you're able, that would be wonderful. And thank you again. Hi, bud. How you doing? How you doing, Emerson? You doing good? Yeah. Oh, I was going to let you know too, obviously he's welcome to stay up, but we're going to have a nursery worker starting the 23rd. So the nursery will be open. It's going to be painted. We got new toys.
What are you going to do without all that screaming?
I love it. I mean, I'm someone like the voice of children at church is like awesome. It's like the best thing. So it doesn't bother me at all. But if I were a parent, I'd want to worship.
Yeah.
Like when our kids were young, I thought to myself like I can't do anything if I'm chasing. So
yeah.
That'll be an option. Good to see you, Michael.
Oh, good to see you.
Yep.
Damn it. Thank you.
That was awesome. It was so good. Thank you today. It was so good.
Thank
so
you.
Good.
When are you leaving again? You're going on your sabbatical?
Oh, I am. Not till, so I'll like the end of August.
And then you're gone for?
Just till December.
Oh.
So it's like a semester. It's good.
It's good for you.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Well, rest, hopefully. That's my
all?
Big, that's, well,
sit on beach,
I have stuff I have to do, but it's not, I'm not writing a book or anything. It's going to be small stuff, small projects, but mostly rest.
Oh, good.
Read. Good. Yeah. Good. Yeah, I need it. It'll be good. It's going to be rejuvenating. You know, sabbatical, Sabbath, it's like, it's necessary. So I feel lucky that I have that option.
All right.
Yeah.
Is it a paid sabbatical?
Well, through NNU.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
What I mean.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Good yeah, it's
job.
Good. It's gonna be a very good thing. So yeah.
You got somebody to take over for you while you're gone?
Steve Tollefson.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Steve's gonna be preaching. I feel so grateful. He's amazing. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah, the community's gonna be blessed. I don't know if they're gonna want me to come back. He's pretty good.
He is.
Yeah, yeah. So it'll be good.
How many of the chairs upstairs do you want?
Oh, let me show you. Yeah.
And just one against the wall, right?
Yeah, I've got a couple. I mean, it's.
Thank you.
Hey, Patricia, you want me to show you where to sign?
Sure.
Yeah. So thanks, Jeff. So listen, downstairs there's a room where I've stacked. That's the room I'm going to keep all the chairs along the edge. So I can show you what it is.
Okay.
So those two in the corner, we're going to leave them up as extras. But all of these, those that are stacked, the other ones can stay, but the stacked ones, and then these stacked ones. So like every chair here, those stacks, and all of these besides the two in the corner.
In the furniture room.
So it's a lot, and that's. Let me show you, Patricia. We're not going to put them in the furnace room, Jen. It's the room, because there's too many. You'll see.
Okay.
I've already cleaned up the room that SAS meets in. It's the other room. I'm just lining the outside of it with the chairs.
Where the piano used to be?
Is yes. So this is the So there are two options that the UMC gives for reopening inside. Option one is boilerplate. Option two is asking for certain waivers. So I'm asking for the opportunity for Emily to sing live inside, which is not option one. And I'm also asking to be able to do communion creatively if we have individually wrapped things. So the district superintendent said those both are fine, but I have to have... So Jenny, I signed it, Jenny signed it, Mike Wittry signed it, and I need the chair. But since we talked as a council, I felt comfortable, like they were okay with these things. So as long as you're okay with that, you just sign right below right here, and then I'll send it to the DS.
You don't mind if I just...
Oh, you can read it. Yep, absolutely. I'll show you. It was the room I was dragging him into downstairs. That's where we're... I didn't want to do that. Excuse me, Emerson.
Thank you.
Oh.
Why don't you stack them there? Maybe some of us can just shuttle them.
Sure. Oh, did you see where they are, where they're going?
Yeah.
Okay.
Eight high.
If that's possible, yeah.
We're gonna shove.
So just put it on the landing, TJ.
Okay, hold on. I'm gonna back up.
Sorry.
Show off.
Oh. So I tumble down these stairs. If you can just put the money into an envelope, Shelly.
Huh?
So you know the in that room. Uh-huh. If you can just put the money
in
one of the envelopes you bought.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a mail slot on the far wall. It's black.
Okay.
There's a top and bottom. Just put the envelope
in the
top.
Okay.
It's like a filing thing. You'll see it.
How many are you taking down here,
Doug? A lot. We're gonna keep like... We're keeping like 85 up here, and then we're taking down like 70. Here, if you want to just go outside real quick, TJ, then I'll... Here, if you want to... We're going to leave those two as extras.
Okay. Right.
Thank you. Everything look okay?
Yes, but they're
Nope. So I communicated them with the DS directly. She just said, if it's not the boilerplate option one, if you're wanting to do some things that are different, I just need to communicate those to her and have you guys aware and sign. Yeah, it's going to be like masks and distancing still. Which at some point, I mean, given the CDC lifting and how many people are vaccinated in this community, I hope we can do mask-free at some point, but I also want to be cautious. Those ones are going to stay as extras in case... Those are going to go down. That's right. Only the stacked ones.
Okay, so I had to clip
Lots of people gave, well, there were several envelopes that won't fit in the envelopes, so I'll get bigger envelopes.
Oh.
But I just clipped them all together.
Okay.
I put the loose money in my envelopes and it.
Thank you for doing that. I really appreciate it. Yeah, that's perfect. Oh, sorry about that. Right, let me, I'll squeeze this way and then I'll move the other ones. Patricia, if you want to. That's a big stack. Let me get that. You know what would, you sure? That's a big stack. Let me move these a little bit closer. Perfect. Take a look, come on guys, it's gonna be so great.
This is gonna be
look at this amazing building.
I'm so excited. So stinking excited. Thank you for closing the door. That's awesome. Can you please bring your baby doll this way? Let me stay out of the way.
If you would if you would take a look at the piano and see if you want us to angle it
awesome.
Differently. The real piano. We're close. We're close. Do you want me to leave a couple of chairs for you and Josh to sit when you're not playing? Like sit right here?
Yeah, we used to have just like a row that the musicians would use.
Because you'll be singing, we can't have anyone else sit near you, but you and Josh obviously can sit.
Okay.
Then what I'm going to do is I'm just going to move these two.
If we have other musicians with us, can we have chairs for them over here too?
Oh man, that's a good question.
Or are we limited to just her right now?
As long as can we ask them, all the musicians, if they're vaccinated?
Well, we're not vaccinated.
Oh, okay. Oh, but you've had it.
I've had COVID. She
is not. All right. Let me think. It might have to be. Are you planning to have someone next week or just you?
I was planning on having someone upstate, but if it needs to just be me, I can do it.
I think we should call.
I'm fine with that.
I'm just trying to think of what. Most of the congregations are doing no singing, like video music, which is like.
Yeah.
I really want you to do it. I don't know what if the UMC is gonna.
Well, let me have me just sit alone. If that will do the trick.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
I'll look into it because I like being able to play with other people. I mean, I think that's so much better. Like I would, I think the risk is so low.
Yeah.
So I also want to be responsible or whatever to the large organization. But so if you don't hear from me, let's just have you do it for now. But I'll check in and see if we can get other people.
Totally fine.
Okay. Would it be DJ or who else? Who are you thinking? Charlie?
It would probably be. Probably DJ. TJ too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Then what I'll do is, the other thing I can do is, like, it looks like people are not worried. I mean, these people are coming to church regularly. These are not skittish folk.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. We might just go that route.
Okay.
Did you get any indication from Bart when we might know about
Funding? Hopefully the end of May.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he's hoping it'll close and be done. There's it's not a wrinkle, it's just an update. I got a long document from Tuttle outlining his legal perspective, which is, in some ways, it's very helpful. I've already forwarded it to Amanda, and then Joe, who's the litigator at her law firm, who litigates these matters, so that they can say, he, in great detail, looking like adding aerial pictures. He even read through the transcripts of our planning and zoning with LEAP. He quotes Bart because this easement, if you remember, this is a recorded easement, and the neighbor was worried, and we assured them we're not trying to close that project. We're going to leave this open. So Bart is quoted as saying, "We plan to continue to grant access to our neighbors." Da da da. So he quotes this out of context, assuming like as though we're talking about our driveway. But it's long. I'll send it to you so you can look it over. But basically, I don't know. I'm looking at it like, I don't know if this is a strong case or not. But this could change Amanda and Joe's mind. They might say, well, looking at what he's given us, we think a prescriptive easement is reasonable. Or they might look at it and say, this is all a house of cards and there's not really a good case here. But that's sort of the next step for me, is waiting to hear back. What do you think about? Because his lawyer was part of it. I was on it, and he didn't have your email, but he does say the chair of the church council. So I know it, I would love your perspective too on it, but he certainly does not strike me as like he knows what he's talking about. I don't know if he's right, but he thinks he's right. So.
Well, he always does think he's right.
Yeah.
Our
yeah.
experience has been, but he also knows when he. When you thought, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's sad. I mean, it's looking like more and more this is going to be where both sides feel deeply entrenched in we're right and neither wants to give, but I don't know. I'll wait till back, and then I'll whatever correspondence, I'll either forward it to you from Amanda or I'll relay it if she calls me. But I haven't heard back because it was like literally like late Friday afternoon.
Okay. Well, and I think I told you I did file a complaint with the city about the business on the corner.
Well, there's already parking RVs and stuff over there. It's crazy.
Well, and so the investigator asked if I would use my name to challenge the RV that he had on the lot. And so it's gone now.
Oh, interesting. Well, there's going to be his wood cutting equipment. It's all going to be parked there, but it's not zoned that way.
No, it's not zoned that way.
Oh, man.
There was vandalism at our mailbox this morning.
Church mailbox or your...
My personal, which is in front of Tuttle's house.
Oh, no.
I'm
sorry.
Related. But
it's just this big mess right now, sadly, because there's so many things. We have a project. He's trying to divide his lot. He's already putting wood in parking cars, but he hasn't bought it yet. It's not done, right?
I think it is, because he wouldn't have parked the RVs there if he had. I think it's done.
Can you find out if that's happened? Because Amanda was hoping to talk to Dave Tuttle before, because if he's sold it, he's lost the side access to the back, and he doesn't. She wanted to warn him, like, you don't want to give up that side access.
I think just because of James.
But he's already putting wood there too. I just thought that was an agreement. I didn't realize that was.
Yeah. No. I think that the sale went through. I don't think Molinaro would be putting his RVs on that corner lot.
Can you check? Is there any? Is it? It's got to be public, right? Can you?
Yeah, I'll see if I hear that.
Okay, I'm sorry about your mail, but I don't want this to get nasty. I just want this to be.
I don't either. It's just maybe there's nothing related at all, but it's just kind of interesting at the time.
The timing does not sound great to me.
All right, the chairs all
over. It looks great. Thank you. No more projects.
So all the screens are working.
Oh man, we got the video. Yeah. I forgot, so we can do this now.
Yeah.
Man, that's awesome.
Isn't this crazy?
It makes me so happy. It looks great.
It does look really good. I totally forgot.
Emerson,
about
please
this.
Leave that alone.
I did I've done my sermon slides for next week, but I just did them in like the black and red, if you remember, like the old school ones.
Oh yeah.
Which is fine, I guess, because.
Well, if you want to send it to me, I'll have to do the lyrics anyway.
Yeah. Well, it looks so good. I love it. I know. I was telling him because there's the weird wonky wiring.
Yeah.
But it was because you gave birth at like the end of 19, and we were just trying to make stuff because this one wasn't working, so we like ran it along.
Yes.
And anyway, and so I had forgotten entirely, and then he was saying, "I wonder who did this." And it was like, "Oh, I know what happened."
2 years ago, we did that.
And then you guys came back, and then immediately we were shut down.
Yeah. Yes, I'm so excited. It's gonna sound so nice.
Yeah.
So, Joe, do you want me to? Obviously, your guys' Jimmy rig is still working, but do you want me to try and fix whatever was broken, or do we want to set aside some time to do that?
I'm just wondering, do you see one that runs under here that is just unattached?
So what I would have to do, look at Lumba.
Or did I pull it all the way out?
I would hope not.
I probably wouldn't have. Maybe DJ would have.
Let's see.
Is there any just
the power? You want to talk?
You're being such a helper. Yes, you are. That's right. Uh-huh.
He's singing.
Good job. I'm going to just have you sit with me so that they have a little bit more space.
I'm going to run downstairs real quick and just make sure
you're great.
All is.
Let's not eat it though. Just put it right in front of your mouth. Hello. 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 Yeah. Hello.
Hey.
I was just going to say hi, or is there more stuff you're doing?
No. I just wanted to make sure, because we have a group that meets here during the weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
That's not what you wanted?
No, it's not that. It's just there's so many. All right.
Was this the room they needed?
No, they use that room. But AA is going to start meeting, and I was going to offer this, but it with this many, if we go higher, if I do 8, so like this is only 5, if I do 3 more, I could get rid of some of these stacks so that if I had, so it's fine. I'm not, don't worry about it. I'm trying to think of how I want to do this. I can get back here, and maybe I can Oh, I see. I think maybe they were scared off, but I think that might make a big difference. Oh, man, maybe. Ow. You were down here stacking?
I was
down. Thank you. That is awesome. Already suffered an injury.
Huh?
I pinched my finger in there. I said I've already suffered an injury.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's do this. Let's get this.
Something fell off.
Let's Jenga this. I'm going to slide this back, and then I'm going to get this. If you want to slide the rocking chair, we're going to put that in the nursery.
Okay. They were saying that, like, you guys were painting in there?
Yeah, so if you want to just slide it, like, over by the other rocking chair.
Yeah. You want to slide it, like, here? Or is that...
That's the Swahili Fellowship office, so it can be just over with that other stuff, though. Yes, exactly. And then let's see, what do we got? That's seven. So this, I don't want to go any higher than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's it. But then, yeah, let's do this. Let's stack it like this.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll clear up the middle. I thought for sure I went to school forever, so I never had to do this, but such is life.
There we go.
Look at that. And we can just move these over straight. But this way, once the nursery furniture goes in, after it's painted this week, that will provide plenty of room. Here, if I push, you pull.
Yeah, but ergonomically, if you push with your knee.
Oh, I see. Let me do this. I'm going to grab the bottom. There we go. Now I got to get out of the way. Beauteous.
Yep.
Oh, thank you so much. That would have taken me forever. Oh, that would have been a nightmare.
Have a good one.
Thank you so much. Well, have a good day.
Yeah, is NNU done?
NNU's done, so I'm...
Coffee?
I would love to, yeah. I mean, I've got a lot of flexibility. If you give me a couple of options, I guarantee I'll find one. But if you say, like, oh, this day works better, you know, like, oh, Wednesday from here to here, you have a gap. If you just give me, like, two or three options, then I'll find one that works and we'll meet. I'd love to.
The interview is Thursday.
I mean, I can't think of a more perfect job for you.
I know, right?
I mean, that's literally the...
There's another prayer there that I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
So, the capstone project that I was working on, this organization was at the top of the list of, like, who you'd want to partner with to run your campaign.
Wow.
Yeah. So, if I get the job... I'm trying not to bank on this, but, like, if I get that internship, I really want to reach out and, like, get things lined up with my program to make,
like, use it as part of your project. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it just would be, like, dovetail in there.
Yeah, but I reached out to my advisor, like, a week ago, and I haven't heard back. And I don't know if it's just because it's end-of-the-year stuff or...
Yeah, it's possible.
Like, the fear in there is that they've given up on me, which I'm sure is not true.
No, no, no. Every university wants desperately to graduate, for people to complete. They work hard. I mean, this is important to...
It's just one F. Like, it's one class I didn't complete. It's gotta be doable.
No, no, I there's always exceptions, but the rule is you want to be able to say, here's our track record of graduating people, of placing people.
Yeah.
You don't want to say, like, oh, you know, we got 40% of people complete this program. Like, they don't want that. They want to say no. So they're usually going to get back. I mean,
so keep knocking on the door.
I would.
Yeah.
I would.
I like this sermon, though, because it's like I've got this hodgepodge of broken dreams that I'll just put that in the interview, like, hey, or in the application.
Yeah.
I had 3 hours to apply. My weekend was so busy.
Oh, man. So you just had to kind of throw it together.
And I found out, like, the day of. So I was just, in my application, I was super honest, like, I'm one capstone project away from this degree. I had to stop for the last 2 years due to a head injury, and I'm looking for a way to get back on the saddle. So, looks like it worked.
Good.
So,
well, I guess
next week,
I think
Jenny will make it.
Oh, good.
Then.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
We'll see, but either way, I'll see you, Mark. I appreciate it, man.
Today thing.
Yeah.
With her.
Yeah.
She's fine last night, but. Yeah.
Not great today.
Walk, being, even though she's the one being walked, it's still.
Yeah. We'll pray for sure. I mean, that's like a big. And I'm sure there's a lot of anxiety around it, so would you, I just.
Yeah, Jenny's going to let me do the interview at her house, so I'm not, on a Zoom call at my house with, you know.
Oh, good.
Home, so.
Oh, that's awesome. That's good. That's really good. Okay, good. And if there's ever something like that in the future, too, we can set you up in the church. We got good internet. Yeah, yeah, because again, there's lots of space here. Yeah, we don't need it anymore. Let's just, but for now, let's just move it over by the side of the stairs or the ramp, like this. I'll show you.
Can you put behind?
Sure.
It looks nicer.
Yeah, this is ugly.
Yeah. You don't put behind it. Oh, careful.
I just got to fit through the.
Yeah, it will. Put behind the shed, no barbecue or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, looks nice. You can walk in and out. Yeah. I think, I don't know who it belongs to.
We'll get rid of it. It's gross.
I can take it apart to recycle.
You can take it where you can take it to Goodwill or recycling. But
no,
feel free to get rid of that.
Okay, good. All right, I've got your permission.
Same with this.
But this one, yeah.
Yep. That's awesome. Thank you again. So awesome. Oh, didn't want to do that.
Okay, back it up.
Can I put this into deep storage now, Josh? This other board monitor? No, not this, baby, this.
Yeah, the soundboard we had, yeah.
So it looks like it's pretty good, it's working.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my question for you, are you planning on doing like a video with sound from the computer next week?
No.
Okay, so I didn't find immediately the cable that was replaced by the one that you guys modeled up.
Yeah.
We must have pulled it out.
I'll have to take a look.
I hope not.
Doing that and then getting this sound from the computer hooked back up to the sound system, I think will take me a little bit longer. So I can plan on doing that later, if that's okay.
Oh, sure. I mean, what?
Just getting screens going and the soundboard, that's all working.
Because I'm just going to be, I'm going to still be mic'd.
Yep.
But I'm not going to show any videos. Just PowerPoint text.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Oh, that's so great.
Right?
So great. Yeah, I'm so thankful that you stayed after because I didn't want to find it next Sunday. So the fact that it all went gangbusters.
Gangbusters.
It's pretty good. I love gangbusters. Well, Shelly's going to come in to get sanitizer, get like cleaning supplies for the hospitality people so we can just wipe down surfaces.
Okay.
That's not, but that's none. I mean, I don't have anything I'm doing. I'm showing up on Sunday now.
Okay.
We cleared this space up. Yeah. It looks good in here. We've got, I mean.
Oh, I'm not a very observant person. So sometimes you have to find stuff out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I love this right now. This is what we had this plan, right?
Yeah,
so it's. And I can actually even.
Where's your in your communion stuff?
I put it up because we're not using and even when we do communion, we're going to do individually packaged. I think. So you have a key.
Well, now, well, he went and made one.
Oh, dang it! It doesn't. Those tags don't fit. It's okay, so let me show you. Because, no, these are the only tags. That's why this one's down here, too. And just so you know, it's possible that, like, we've got keys. We also have locks with keys. Just if we ever needed another one, we have extra. But this is what I do. This is exactly what I do. So that as long as they're labeled, then we know where the keys are. So it's a foolproof strategy. The system is full. I mean, it's organized. It is intuitive.
So, as long as both of us know where that is, and I think like Henry has a key, and of course
I'm sure
Joe
he does.
And I think Chris Johnson does.
I wish I could tell you how many just keys are out and about in the world. It's gonna look so good. I'm so happy.
I know.
Look how good that's gonna look.
Yeah, it is, and she'll.
Yeah, it's gonna look amazing.
No. So Olivier texted me and emailed me this invitation. They're having some big worship concert at Vertical Church, and it reminds me of what happened at the cathedral several years ago.
Oh yeah.
All just male pastors. So Olivier Gaturaturo, and then this new guy, Israel. And then the pastor over at Vertical is preaching.
Oh.
So it's on the 16th, which is, I think, the same day as Habitat.
Habitat, I think, is the 19th. Is that
whatever that okay. Saturday is.
Okay.
Anyway, I just want to pass along. I'll pass along to you, but I think it's like 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. So I'm not sure if I'll be able to make it.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
They're going to celebrate and rock it out.
And I'm waiting. I'm going to tell Olivier that we are allowed to worship inside the building. We are just getting started next Sunday, and I'm going to make a plan to meet with him that week. Because I'll be here after I teach that class. I'll be here, and we can kind of debrief, or at least I can scope things out, and I can maybe glean from Shelley what the protocol is, and then I can sit down with Olivier and say, this is what we're doing. And then let them know that Saturdays the building is open only after 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think we're both on the same page in terms of I think we do our best to communicate expectations, but we are not going to police.
No.
I'm not going to show up and like scold anyone.
Nope.
So let's not. But so we're on the same page there.
Yeah.
We'll do our best, but as time goes on, I don't know how to. Like force them not to meet. They're already meeting together, and
No. It is. Yeah, I'm just gonna tell them what our protocol is, and just encourage them to adopt it. But they'll do what they do. I'll let them know that vacuum and all that stuff would be really like that's.
Yeah, that's important. And we're gonna have a vacuum up, and we have one down.
Oh, good.
We don't have it yet, but I asked Shelley to get it, and then we'll be reimbursed. So then it's going to be easy in both ways. Yeah, and I think we should need to wrap an extension cord around both so that they can like get, so you're not plugging it in 1,000 places, right? You just get a long extension cord, and then it shouldn't take too long.
It shouldn't. And then any cleaning supplies that we would expect them to do, are those just going to be obvious?
So here, we're hoping to have cleaning supplies in that bathroom,
okay.
Cleaning supplies in this bathroom,
okay.
And then we're not doing coffee and drink.
Yeah.
So, we might have like some extra wipes,
yep.
Sanitizer, and we're going to leave. I asked Shelly, we're either going to use these tables or she's going to bring some, but we're going to set up we're just going to keep it here, right? Boom. You come in. If you want to drop your communion, the plate will be here. Sanitizer. If you don't have a mask, we'll have extras.
Nice.
And we're just going to put that stuff right there.
Love it. Okay. And down in the kitchen, because as they do, a lot of times they have fellowship either before or afterwards, all that cleaning stuff, that will be obvious down there too, in the kitchen.
And that you're probably going to hear from SAS if that's not going well, because they're the ones who use it all the time. Or I guess it'll only be Tuesdays. Okay.
Yep.
But yes, they've done that for, yeah.
Can you tell
It's okay.
I called you.
Oh, but I don't have my phone because I've got my like mic on this and my recorder on this, so I just take my phone out. Sorry about that.
Well,
I'm sorry I would have told you not to drive all the way out here.
Okay.
Hey, nice good. How are you?
Dude, it's
Natalie's outside.
Oh, good. Okay.
It's I really appreciate you coming. I mean, luckily I had like we had like a whole.
So everybody came. Okay, there was like a problem.
Which I was nervous about. Thanks, Jen. See you. Have a good one.
Stuck.
No. I just feel bad that I didn't have my phone, or I would have just said, "Hey, we're good." But I want to see. I want to hug you. Bring it in.
Had a feeling inside.
We weren't next week.
Oh, okay.
So I got everything ready. So we normally have like 100 and something chairs. Now we only have 80.
Is there going to be space though? Are they going to do space?
Well, when people come,
space in rows.
So like if a person came individually, we would just have them, and then we would like move this chair out. But it's nothing. I mean, 6 feet is supposed to be like, I don't know. It's supposed to be like that. So it's no.
Oh, we thought you were just about done, so I was going to come down.
Josh,
yeah.
So you don't need more help? Is there anything else you want?
No, I'm good.
You got muscle right
here.
I'm good.
Keep it here for now.
Look at that. Dude, you're buff, man. You've been working out. You're swole. What?
I went to lunch with Danny Dallas yesterday.
You told me. I love that he just...
We went to Merritt's for like 2 hours. It was amazing.
Did you get the funnel cake?
I got it.
Slash scone.
Yeah, I got one for her.
He's awesome.
He is.
Okay.
He's like a hidden gem there.
You need help?
I got it.
Okay.
Do you want us to move the piano? Sorry.
He's going to move the piano back over there real quick, and then I think he's done.
You want help?
Where are we putting it?
Just over here somewhere.
If we
get... Is it a roll or is it?
No. I got it carried up from downstairs.
Oh.
Not this piano. Electric piano.
I thought you meant
a guitar. Where do you want to put it?
Up here somewhere. Because if we get someone like Jake, we were just talking, with an electric keyboard like that, you can synth it to be a bass, so he could do bass line on that while I might play his actual piano.
Okay.
Do you want help?
Yeah, we can do that real quick. But I...
Yeah. Crazy about it? Yeah.
I'm fine. I'm just thinking about it being used by like Swally Fellowship and stuff, so I don't know if you're okay with that. If not, then we should move it down and then just bring it up. But I can have the hospitality team do that on a Sunday morning. So like storing it, and then if you want it, we'll bring it up.
Let's do that then.
I mean, it's a gift to the church. So whatever the church wants to do.
I'd rather have it downstairs.
Yeah.
And then brought up.
Let's do that.
Okay. Because they've got their own stuff. I mean, they bring it in and rock it out. I mean,
yeah.
They've got their speakers and all that.
Yeah.
But it's going to be better that way.
Okay.
But Dre and I are on it, so...
Thanks.
You guys don't have to worry.
Hi.
Good to see you, man.
Yeah.
How's Vinny going?
It's cool.
Good.
My wife goes on.
Hey, good to see you. We're just going to move this baby down real quick. It won't take too long.
Yeah, that whole thing just lifts out.
Oh. I'm afraid I'm going to break something, and this just lifts up.
Oh, wait, hold on. There's a stand too.
Yeah, there you go.
Hold on, you got
it. You're plugged in.
Yep. Oh, rats.
Then I'll unhook you guys.
There you go. Sorry about that. Probably should have seen that.
You are a problem solver. That was awesome. High five.
So, yeah, he's like a hidden gem.
So, if you go up, yeah, you know what's up.
For men and you.
So, when you say hidden gem, you just mean like because he's really talented or just a great guy?
I just think the way he views the world.
Oh.
And he thinks he understands. He's not like one of those old crony Nazis.
He's not.
No.
Who is this?
Dan Nogales.
He had big ideas when he was doing Dean of Under.